Across Tamworth and the Northwest Slopes and Plains, you're waking up to 2TM Breakfast with Peter Huxley.
Let's have a look at Vaccine Watch now. A look at what's happening in the vaccine research for the coronavirus COVID-19. Strong trial results in England. Oxford scientists said they believe they have come up with a coronavirus vaccine that could provide a double defence against the virus. The Telegraph newspaper over there, not our one, reported on the results from the human trials that the scientists conducted. The results showed that blood samples taken from a group of UK volunteers that had a dose of the vaccine produced both antibodies and killer T cells. Now, T cells are cells that are produced in our bodies that literally go and kill virus cells. They're an immune response cell, and they actually go there and directly destroy them. It is a fantastic thing. It said the antibodies may fade, but the T cells can stay in circulation for years. So one of the problems we've had with this vaccine research is the antibodies, not knowing how long those antibodies actually last for. And you can see that by having to have a flu shot every year. Those antibodies that you build up from that flu don't actually last. However, the T cells, which this vaccine apparently is producing, do last. The results look promising. It hasn't been proven to provide long-lasting immunity against COVID-19 yet. So let's just keep that. But they are moving to a phase 3 trial. When you're dealing with vaccines, you can't guarantee things. But you can say, based on the science and the way things are going, that this is cautiously optimistic news. This is Dr. Anthony Fauci, of course, the big US expert. Nobody guarantees, but they feel optimistic that we will have a vaccine, one or more, that we can start distributing to people. AstraZeneca, the drug maker, who was attached to this Oxford UK trial, has already signed a deal to produce 2 billion doses if the trials are successful. They are moving into the phase 3 trial, which is the big one where we have a lot of them, a lot of people done on this. And look, it's looking pretty good. Moderna, who is the US trial going over, they say they're having similar sort of results, and they are happy that they are getting very, very close to a vaccine as well. They're even saying it could be ready by October. I don't want to get you too excited. But their results, they were testing for two things, the proof of concept and whether there are any side effects. The results that just came out of in the New England Journal of Medicine, not us New England, this is in the US, this particular batch results from the 45 adults ages 18 to 55, they were given one of the three doses, 2500 or 250 micrograms. They've decided that the 100 micrograms is the way to go, and they are very, very promising. They're moving into phase 3 trials as well, which will begin as quickly as next week. There's a Russian one as well. Now, the Russians have been accused of stealing our results, stealing our research recently. Why anyone wants to steal any of this research, I guess just so they can win, so they can be glorious Russia. Other than that, you know, is it such a bad thing that they're stealing our research and building on it? If it results in a vaccine, well, why not? Why not indeed? The Doherty Institute, this is in Melbourne, uncovered how important part of the human immune system responds to the coronavirus, which could help assess how strong of neutralizing antibody response a vaccine might actually be. The T cells seem to be the crucial predictor for how well the immune system responds to a coronavirus infection and therefore a vaccine as well. So some good things happening. They're in phase 2. Moderna's in phase 2 at the moment. The Oxford one is about to move into phase 3. Phase 1, here's how it goes. Phase 1 is a small number of people just to test safety and dosage. Phase 2 is that expanded to hundreds of people. Phase 3 is the crucial efficacy trials, where scientists give vaccine to thousands of people and wait to see how many people become infected compared with volunteers who received a placebo. These trials can determine if the vaccine protects against the coronavirus. Now, it's terrible times over there in Brazil, but they are saying that Brazil is the ideal area at the moment for us to be doing these phase three. So we can expect a lot of phase three trials to go through in Victoria. Number one, because they have a high infection rate. Number two, because they've got a large number of doctors over there as well. So in summary, Moderna, the US one, is in phase two at the moment, looking to move to phase three. The BioNTech, which is the German studies, in phase two at the moment. The Morningside Imperial College at London, phase two. Zydus is an Indian one. They're in phase two. And the Japanese one is also in phase two. So we've got a lot in phase two at the moment. Several others in phase one, looking to move to phase three this week. There you go. Things are moving ahead.
Tamworth Zone, 1287 2TM. And 2TM Breakfast with Peter Huxley.
Speaking of making a fuss, The Voice went down last night. The judge's brother won. Does that taint it? I reckon it does a bit, doesn't it? He was good and all that sort of thing. But you don't have your brother. And I remember when I happened to flick it over when he did his audition, the first, whatever it is, where they turn round. His brother was the first one to turn round. You're telling me he didn't know who he was? And then Delta turned around. She owned up to knowing him personally as well. I don't know. When you're coaching your kid's football team, you don't give your own kid player of the year, do you? Well, if you've got, I guess if you got enough chutzpah, I suppose you would, but everyone's going to look at it and go, yeah, right, mate, like your kid was. You don't give your kid, when I coached my kid, he got less game time than anyone else. He could have been player of the year. He was pretty good, but I didn't give it to him because you know what? You just don't do that. Just like you don't get your brother and let him win your talent quest, even if he's good. You can't do that. The whole thing's tainted. He should have said, Chris, you should go on the other one, the Australia's Got Talent one. Don't go on The Voice. I'm on that one. You know I'm on that. I'm the judge. We're going to look like dickheads if I make you the winner. Yeah, I don't know.
Wake up and face the day with 2TM Breakfast with Peter Huxley. Tamworth Zone, 1287 2TM.
Well, Tony Ambrogetti earlier this morning. They're building one out in Richmond in Sydney at the moment. Most of us plan to bury it in the traditional way, in a coffin or cremated or scattered into the ocean or whatever. But these eco-burial sites, they're calling them now, with a natural burial, your body goes back into the environment again quicker and at a lower depth. For an eco-burial, the person's body is placed in an untreated pine or untreated timber coffin, or even a shroud without a coffin. A natural burial site would look like any other natural park or bushland, with no statues or tombstones, and families visit their loved ones' graves by using a map on your phone, a little GPS. They put a little chip in the, I don't know where they put it, but I guess you don't care anyway at that point. There'll be some minor plaques to show where a burial is taking place, and they'll be able to literally pace out the ground and place some natural flowers on their loved one's grave. I guess it's a kind of an evolutionary thing, this, isn't it? Trish Hannon's already signed up. It'll be a long way up there, things I haven't done yet. She's 74. She's already planned it. She says, I'm going to go right next to a 400-year-old tree. So I don't know about the walking up. I know Tony poo-pooed that idea earlier, saying you could be walking over a burial site. Yeah, but not someone who was buried last week or a couple of weeks ago or whatever. I don't know about walking over the dead to get to your dead. I don't know. I prefer the Ellen Jewell method. Ellen Jewell's a fabulous artist from the US, and she says things like, just plant something pretty and call it a day. I like that.
Right across Tamworth and the northwest slopes and plains, this is 2TM Breakfast with Peter Huxley. Tamworth Zone, 1287 2TM.
A County Durham man over in the UK has been driven quackers because yellow rubber ducks keep showing up in the post, and he has no idea why. Peter Jackson of Ushaw Moor near Durham's been receiving dozens of mystery parcels from Amazon. This is a good sledge, I reckon. Among them, a packet of cheese crackers, a dog bone, and a series of yellow rubber ducks. 9 and counting. The 76-year-old who doesn't actually have an Amazon account has absolutely no idea who's been sending the parcels. He also says Amazon have been unable to provide any answers over the mystery deliveries due to customer confidentiality. We can't tell you who's sending them, lad. Speaking to the Northern Echo, he said, "It started about a fortnight ago. I received two of these rubber ducks in the post. I thought nothing more of it. Thought it was just a mistake. Then the next day, another one. Then another one. And then they've been coming every day. I got nine now." Mr. Jackson, who's lived there for the past 4 years, says the first time anything like this, well, it's never happened to anyone else. He said, "I've got a total of nine ducks. I don't even have a bath." I don't know whether he means he never has a bath or he doesn't own one. It could be either way for a pom, couldn't it? I've got a walk-in shower, just like everyone else. I don't really know what's going on. His friends and family have since denied responsibility and have been trying to seek answers on his behalf. My stepson got onto Amazon. They said, looks like they're coming from two separate accounts, but they couldn't give names because it's confidential. The Munchkin Yellow Rubber Ducks are currently listed for £2.79 on Amazon and have recently been reduced. I don't know why that's relevant. If it's a practical joke, it's costing them money. These rubber ducks are £2.79. It would have cost them 30 quid by now. I'll tell you what, now it's in the paper, you reckon other people aren't going to join in. Yes, let's go to the States now, see what's happening in the good old US of A, and let's go to the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, for a missing 2007 Toyota Camry Hybrid. The man missing it blames its disappearance on a reasonably responsible end to an otherwise wild night. There's signs up appearing around Minneapolis at the moment saying, "I got too drunk, I parked my car and rode with a friend. We think it's somewhere in the northern parts of Hennepin County, parked on a residential street. The poster lists a number to call if it's spotted." Basically, the bloke got so hammered he forgot where he parked his car. You ever done that? Well, you haven't lived. To say a person, place or thing is in the northern parts of Hennepin County, which stretches 600 square miles and is home to more than a million people, is about as helpful as saying the mythical Minotaur is somewhere in the labyrinth. Unfortunately, he hasn't found it yet. You can begin to understand the kind of confusion this owner must have experienced and the stress they're under now, but for nothing. He goes on to say, "I may have saved your life or a child's, but now I can't find my car." The word reward also appears somewhere in there in capital letters, but an amount is not specified, so make of that what you will. I think you don't tell him until you get the cash in the hand. The bloke says the post was spotted on a telephone pole on 44th and Russell Street in North Minneapolis. I don't know much more than that. The online community, despite the seemingly hopeless task of finding a Toyota-shaped needle in a haystack, seems pretty ready to give the poster maker some props. After all, they chose to lose a car rather than drive drunk. And that's a reward in itself, isn't it? But still, and the fact that it's a Toyota Camry doesn't help either, does it?